Thank you for listening to the Sermon Audio Podcast from Greenwood Baptist Church in Weatherford, Texas. Now here's a message from our senior pastor, Brian Bond.
All right. Man, I appreciate you guys being here today. And man, what a great job by our worship team. Didn't they do a good job? Amen. Thanks to everyone, all the men who helped yesterday for the car show. We had over 30 people indicate they prayed to receive Christ. Man, it was a great day. They did a great job. Today we're continuing our series called The Wise, the Foolish, and the Evil. And we're going to talk about where does your life fit, you know, in those three categories, the wise, foolish, or evil. And, you know, most of the time we're fine with, like, judging where other people's lives fit. But today I want you to look at the characteristics of what a wise life, what a foolish life, and what an evil life looks like. And I want you to kind of decide. Now, I fully understand there's moments when we slip into any one of them. But I want you to understand, and I want you to be able to evaluate and look at, okay, where does your life fit? Which one is most closely descriptive of the way that you live life? And so we're going to look at the characteristics of each one of these. We're going to start in Psalm 19, if you want to go ahead and turn your Bibles there. Psalm 19:7, and this is not meant to say that you don't also evaluate the people in your life. Next week, we're going to talk about the relationships that we have with the wise, the foolish, and the evil, and how to make decisions. You know, that's one of the things about relationships is there's never been a time really in history where it's more of a choice. You know, relationships are a choice. You get to choose, you know, who you have friendships with, who you have relationships with, what you do. And there was a period of time where, you know, you were kind of stuck in a town maybe, and that's where you made your living, and you were going to be there your whole life, and people weren't nearly as mobile as they are now, and they didn't have some of those choices. But today we have choices. Now, you don't get to choose who your relatives are, it's one of life's injustices, but anyway, that's how it works. So, but you can decide, even within your family, even within relations, you know, what kind of relationship you're going to have there. And so we're going to talk about that next week. But today, I really want you to focus more on, you know, what is my life reflecting? Is it reflecting wisdom? Is it reflecting foolishness? Is it reflecting evil? And so Psalm 19, verse 7, if you'd please stand and honor the reading of God's word. And reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. And that's the wrong verse. So forget that. I'm going to go back a couple. Man, I'm going to have to go back and get this prescription checked already. I just gave you, that's a bonus verse. You can take that home. You don't even have to put any extra money in the offering as you go out the door. So purely free. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. That's the correct verse. You may be seated. Thank you. All right. You know, one of the first characteristics of someone that you would consider to be wise is that they are a people of the book. They're people who follow the will of God. You know, what is it about the decrees of the Lord? They're trustworthy. They make wise the simple. You know, I've come in contact with all kinds of belief systems through the years. And one of the things I ask people a lot of times, when they tell me, well, this is what I believe, and I believe this, this, this. And I just ask them a simple question. Well, you know, what do you base that on? What's your go by? You know, what are you going by when you say that? And a lot of times that really throws people into confusion because they've just kind of gathered a little bit here and there about what they like and kind of made it into their own belief system, but they don't have any kind of foundation for it. They don't have any kind of basis for it. But as believers, as Christians, we have a go-by, and that go-by is the Word of God. And so when somebody says, man, what's your go-by? What do you go by in life? Well, it's the Bible. But here's the question, is it really? When you look at your life, are you going by the Word of God? Are you yielding up your wisdom or your thoughts or what you want to what the Word of God says? Now, nobody does that perfectly, but that's one of the main characteristics of a person of wisdom is that their life is built on the trustworthiness of the Word of God, is they trust the Word of God and they choose to make decisions. Some decisions are easy. Should I do this? Now the word says don't. So, boom, there it is. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to spend time worried about that one. Now, there's other decisions like, well, you know, who should I marry or what kind of career should I have? Hey, some of those things take. Now, if the career choice is like gangster hitman, you know that one's wrong because murder's wrong. So that one's easy too. But a lot of things are not, you know, we have to find God's will through other means. But a lot of things we can find just by being a person of the book. And most of the time, God's answered my prayer for wisdom through the Word of God. He's given me answers through the Word of God. Every major decision that I've ever had, God has answered me through the Word of God. Now, you don't open the Word, you don't get in it, you don't get the answers. You know, then you're driving around, God, show me a billboard. Hey, Brian, marry this girl. Hey, Brian, go to this job. That doesn't happen for me. I don't know about y'all. It doesn't happen. And so the Word, it comes down to this. Where are you placing your trust? Are you putting them in the Word of God or something else? And the wise person's life is marked by a trust in the Word of God. Second thing, Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. You know, when we're parents and we're telling our kids, hey, you know, who are you hanging out with? I want to know who you're around. When you look at all the kids they're hanging around with, do you see growing in wisdom or do you see trouble? Guess what? That doesn't change just because you get out of teenagerhood. When you're 25, the people you hang around with are going to give it a direction, an indication about the direction you're going in life. When you're 35, the people that you hang around with are going to give an indication about the direction you're going in life. When you're 55, the people you're hanging out with are going to give an indication about the direction you're going in life. Because you know what it says about the wise people? They walk with other wise people. They walk with people that have wisdom, that are committed to the Word of God, that are going down the same path in life. If your friends are all like, dude, party till we die. If those are all your friends, then that gives me an indication about what your life's being spent on. You may like it, you may not like it, but that's the, well, they're my friends. Okay, but that's the direction of your life. Because the people you surround yourself with, they're going to influence you, whether you realize it or not. How many times you've been around a friend, maybe over a weekend, you get home and your wife or your husband says, why are you saying that? Well, I don't know. You just pick up a saying just from being around some friends for a weekend. If you do that without even thinking about it, what else are you picking up? You're picking up lots of things, aren't you? You're picking up things you don't even realize. You want to become wise? Walk with other wise people. You want to live like a fool? Associate with fools and get in trouble. You catch that? Walk with the wise, become wise. Walk with fools, get in trouble. That's how it works. That's one of the indications of wise people, is they're surrounded by other wise people. It doesn't mean everybody, I mean, everybody's got that one-off friend. We're like, well, you know, that's just them. We love them. But if you don't have people around you that are trying to go the same direction in life, that are trying to follow the Lord, then let me tell you something, it's going to be triply hard to do it. Because they're going to be pulling you in a different direction, whether they mean to or not. Be careful about your friends. Third thing, guess what wise people do? Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. The wise listen to other people. You know, even when it's something they don't want to hear, the wise will listen. Wise people listen to what other people have to say. You know, one of the things, I'm going to confess to be guilty of this at times, and I bet you are too. As soon as the subject comes up, are you ready to jump in there with your argument? Or are you listening? It doesn't mean you got to agree with everybody, but be somebody that listens. Be somebody that hears and evaluates. And you know what? I get it. We live in a day and age where I don't know that you can find two people of any profession to agree on anything anymore. I get that. First, you got to have the Word of God. Then you seek wisdom. Find out what other wise people are thinking. But you still got to listen. Wise people listen. What does it say? Fools think their own way is right. They think whatever they, it's right because I thinketh it. Therefore, it is righteth. That's what a fool thinks. A wise person, even when they, you know, I think maybe I got this figured out, they're still willing to listen to what somebody else might have an opinion about. or somebody else might have an experience with, and evaluate. We need to learn, as believers, let me tell you something. You're going to have to learn how to do that in this day and age. Because I'm just going to give you an example. You could get 10 different doctors from Parker County and ask them, hey, what about this? Let's just pick a virus, any virus you want to think about. What about this virus? And you're going to get about 6 different opinions. Okay? Even the medical professionals cannot agree on things. So it's important that we listen. It's important that we're able to discern. And then it's also really important that we ask God on top of all that. You know, one of the most awesome promises in Scripture is this. If you prize wisdom, she will make you great. You know, if you think about it, there aren't a whole lot of people out here in the world right now that are really treasuring and prizing wisdom. Now, there's more knowledge out there than has ever been accessible in the history of the world, ever. You can find out literally anything in seconds. You can just say it into your phone. I'm not going to say the name because my iPad will come on or whatever and start answering me. You hear that ding. But you can say, when did Mount Vesuvius erupt? Boom, it'll pop up a year. What does this mean? Boom, there's a definition. Hey, when I was a kid, we had to get on our bikes and ride down to the library. And then you went in there and you didn't even know where the book was. You had to go over and open. There were big rows, big things full of cards in them. And you try to have to, well, I want this subject. You go in there, well, that looks like that might be the book. And it had a secret code. It's called the Dewey Decimal Secret Code of Numbers on there. And then you'd have to search through the whole library like a treasure hunt. Pull it out and then finally go, whoops, this ain't the book I was looking for. And then go all the way back and do it all over again. Just to get one piece in. Then you had to look through the whole book. Just to get one little answer. Y'all got it so easy today. You ain't got no Dewey Decimal Secret Code thing to even worry about. You can just ask your phone and get all kinds of knowledge and information. We've got more information at our fingertips than anyone has ever had in the history of the world, and yet less wisdom than ever before. Because wisdom's not just knowing stuff. It's knowing how to use information. And most importantly, it's dependent on the Word of God. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. You see, we have more knowledge, but we also have less fear of God. So you know what that knowledge is? It's dangerous. Because people know stuff, and they think that gives them wisdom, and it doesn't. So here's the deal. Embrace her, and she will honor you, Proverbs 4:8. If you prize wisdom, she'll make you great. Embrace her, and she will honor you. We need to live a life of embracing wisdom, not just knowledge. There's nothing wrong with knowledge. But knowledge without the ability to apply that to life and to know when it should be applied and when it shouldn't is useless. Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. It's not a vegetable. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad because everybody's going to get grossed out and nobody's going to eat it. That's wisdom and knowledge, okay? Learn how to seek and embrace wisdom. Now, what does the foolish life look like? The foolish life plants a lot of things, and then they're surprised when they get back the results. Galatians 6:7-9. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant, or you'll reap what you sow. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Here's one of the truths of life, okay? When you reap good, you rarely ever get an immediate return on it. When you reap foolishness, you get an immediate return. And a lot of times there's pleasure in that immediate return. But here's the deal. Even in whatever action you choose, there's going to be a harvest. There's going to be something. You've planted something that at some point is going to come back. And if you reap foolishness, you may think, hey, I'm not going to be the one to tell you that all sin is not fun. Sometimes sin can be fun for a moment. But there's going to be a price to be paid. And sometimes doing the right thing, doing good, doesn't have an immediate reaction, but there's going to be a harvest to be reaped that's of joy and of goodness and of everlasting life. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So sometimes doing good doesn't get the immediate thing, but it brings back a harvest of blessing. I don't know about you, what's better? One seed or a harvest? I'd rather have a harvest, wouldn't you? I'd rather have a harvest. You know, so many times, even in our everyday actions, we don't even ask God. You see, back in the long time ago, I was in between school for a while. In between, you know, I took a semester or two off school, and I went to work for this guy. I was in Austin, and he had gone to school there at UT, and his parents told him, all right, we'll give you 1 year to start your business, and, you know, you try it, and then if that doesn't work, you got to come back to school. He said, all right. So he starts this business, and I got in on it pretty early on the ground floor. And one of the things they did was they gave us these stock options that were like $2 a share, $3, $4 a share, whatever. And so by the end of the time I was ready to go back to school, I had several hundred shares of this company. And, you know, I'm like, well, I ain't got no money. I can get a little money for selling the stocks, not much. It's like $4. So I sold the share off. And today, looking back, that little company that dude started was Dell Computers. And not only is that stock worth hundreds of dollars, but it split like 5 or 6 times. Now, I wouldn't have necessarily had enough to retire, but oh my goodness, I'd have me some nice stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'd have had a lot of money if I had just hung on just to what I had then. But I didn't know what was coming. And I was thinking about that the other day. Then why didn't you ask God what to do about that stock? I didn't even ask him. Because you know what? I had no idea that it was going to become a household name all across the country. Had no idea at all. But God already knew. What if I just spent some time saying, hey, God, is this a dumb decision to sell this? Should I keep it? What should I do? I could have asked one that already knew what was going to happen, but I didn't even bother. So I made what, at the time, didn't seem like that big a deal, but looking now, you know, you have those things where you wish, if you go back and tell your young self one thing, it'd be, don't sell the Dell. I mean, I'd be telling myself that. Any of y'all? I mean, if you could go back and tell yourself one thing, you'd probably go, dude, you don't have any clue what you're about to do, but don't do it. Why don't we ask God? Because we don't think about it. We go with what we think in our own minds, and we end up making bad decisions. Proverbs 1:28 through 33. And then after a while, guess what? You get to that point where you continue to reject the knowledge of God. Proverbs 1:28 through 33, when they cry for help, I will not answer. Though they anxiously search for me, they will not find me, for they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. They rejected my advice and paid no attention when I corrected them. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own schemes. For simpletons turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their own complacency, but all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. See, so many times we don't acknowledge God's supremacy in our life, and we don't acknowledge the truth of his word and his will, and we don't even use the resource we have to ask and to seek wisdom from him. And you know what? There comes a point where God says, okay, because he loves us. He's not going to force us to do anything, but there's a price to be paid. There's a consequence. This country began to turn away from the things of God. You want to know what our problem is? That's the problem. That's the problem. Did you know that Tim Tebow, his mom was counseled by her doctor to get an abortion because she was having some health problems. And they did a commercial a few years ago about just choosing life, about the opportunity to choose life. Do you know it wasn't even allowed to run during the Super Bowl? They wouldn't even run it, even though they were willing to pay. But you can get all kinds of commercials about helping dogs. You see, people, there's an outrage because a bill was passed in Texas to save babies from being murdered after their heart begins to beat. It passed. It's still being upheld by the Supreme Court. Hopefully, every day it's saving lives. I believe that. But there was a national outrage over the fact that we left some dogs in Afghanistan. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't think we should have done that. I love dogs. But I want you to know something. Dogs ain't got souls. I know some of y'all just got really mad at me right now. And here's the deal. I've had several dogs. I only had one that might have made it to heaven. The rest of them, if they come running up to me after I die, I'm going to think I'm in the wrong place. Y'all know. I've had way too many. I ain't even talking about cats. I ain't even going there. Y'all already know. So here's the deal. I just can't imagine looking back in history and thinking, man, why do these people value dogs over people? That's mind-boggling. Now, since we've been talking about dogs, here's another sign of somebody that lives a life of foolishness. This one's fun. Y'all ready? It's a good one. Proverbs 26:11. Y'all might want to even memorize this verse. As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness. If you got dogs, you know, they'll be over there, turn around and lick that stuff right back up. And then come over and want to lick you in the face. Y'all know, I mean, seriously. But you know what the Bible says? That's what we are when we keep making the same foolish decisions. We're just like a dog licking up his own vomit. Now, hey, all of us make foolish decisions every now and then. We make a bad call. But you know what the sign of a fool is? Is they keep making the same decision thinking they're going to get a different result. Well, this time it's going to be different. This time it's going to be different. Well, this time it's going to be different because we really love each other. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever the decision is, we keep thinking it's going to be different. It's going to be different. And we keep doing the same things over and over again. It's just like a dog returning to his own vomit. That's what the Bible says. Y'all understand, right? So here's the thing. Is that what's marking your life? That you keep making the same foolish decision? Over and over. Thinking this time it's going to turn out different. You got to make a choice at some point. You're either going to keep on. But this time, you know, sometimes the hardest things are when we really want something that we know God wants for us, and we're making foolish decisions trying to make it happen on our own. And when we do that, we're choosing a life of foolishness. When we string together a life of that, then we've lived a life of foolishness. And you know, here's one of the biggest dangers for us, is that we tend to evaluate other people's foolish decisions a lot harsher than we evaluate our own. Because we know that we're good people. And we're really just trying to make something good. And we just made this decision out of love, or we just did this because we care about people, or we were just trying to do something good. And so we find ways to gloss over our own foolish decisions while at the same time going, man, that idiot. Look at that idiot over there. Can you not see? You keep doing the same thing, you're going to get the same results. You know, one of the things I've said this to somebody before, and they didn't like it very much. Somebody that had a habit of, they'd meet a girl, they'd woo her, everything was great. We're Facebook official, walking in sunsets together, then they'd move in together, and then they'd come to me afterwards and say, man, I didn't know, she's crazy. And then that was gone. Then the next few months later, oh man, this she's different than all, this, she's good. Woo them, move in together. After it's over, oh dude, she's crazy. I said, well, that's interesting. None of these girls were crazy until they moved in with you. So you are the only consistent factor between all these women who were not crazy becoming crazy. So guess what? That makes you the problem. And your decisions, the problem. That was the last time they came to me for counsel. You know what? They're still out there doing the same stupid thing and blaming it on somebody else. See, here's the deal. Take responsibility for your decisions. Choose to repent of them instead of blaming somebody else. Well, I know it was wrong, but the reason it didn't work was because they're messed up. The decision was messed up. Y'all messed up. The only way to fix it is to repent of it. Hey, you know what? I made a wrong decision. God, forgive me for that. And now, you know what repent means? It means turn away from it. It means I'm not going to do that again. Now, I understand. I feel for people that are single this day and age trying to find somebody else that's following Jesus and serving the Lord and willing to do it the right way. You know what you find? Well, he said he'd go to church with me. That's not following Jesus. Well, they told me, you know, they'd be all right coming. No. Wait until God brings somebody to you that is already following Jesus and is just as committed to doing it the right way as you are. And you know what? I know, here's what. Guess what? Waiting is part of the deal. Every great blessing in Scripture was preceded by a time of waiting. And sometimes, here's the answer. You want to know why you ain't never got what God has for you? It's because you've never waited for it. Because you couldn't see it. You looked around, well, that job that I think God wanted me to have, I don't see anywhere, so I'm going to go do this. I'm going to make this happen. That person that I felt like God was going to bring to me, I don't see him anywhere, so I'm going to get this one. That, you know what? That ain't what, I know. But I'm going to take that and try to make it what God wants it to be. That's not how it works. You're going to keep getting the same, you're going to keep reaping the same things until you repent and choose to follow, whether you see it or not. And if you keep going down this path, someday you're going to look back and say, man, I wasted a lot of my life with foolishness because I would never trust God. Actually, most of them won't even do that. It's going to be everybody else's fault. Most of them will never even admit or recognize that they're the ones that made all those bad decisions. It was always somebody else's fault. That's what foolishness does to you. Stop repeating your foolishness. Now, the last one is evil. Here's one of the hard things about that is, you know what? It's we know there's evil in the world. I mean, we had a reminder of that yesterday, that we've seen evil, that people want to destroy other people. And that's kind of an extreme evil. in some ways. But we're all guilty at times of having evil thoughts or doing evil things when we want to, whether it's, maybe we didn't want to cause physical harm, but we wanted to hurt somebody. We wanted them to hurt. Maybe like we think they hurt us, or like they hurt a friend of ours, or maybe we just think they took something, or they got something that we want. And so we all can have those moments of evil thoughts. And you know what? Here's the deal. Thinking in your mind about all the ways that you could hurt them, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's financial or whatever, those are just as evil as the actions. Jesus made that clear to us. Psalm 10:7, their mouths are full of cursing, lies, and threats. Trouble and evil are on the tips of their tongues. Listen to how you speak about other people. Is it filled with bitterness? Is it anger? Is it harm? I'm fitting to get all y'all. Y'all ready? When you think or talk about the President of the United States, what comes off your tongue? I'm going to confess to that one. If it ain't this one, maybe it was the one before. I don't know. But what are you saying? What are you thinking about them? What are you saying about them? I understand being angry. I understand disagreeing. But what are we saying? Are we saying things that honor God? What are the words out of our mouth? That's one of the signs of evil. Is that the words out of our mouth are cursing, putting curses on people. Lies and threats, trouble and evil are on the tips of their tongues. What's in our minds? Psalm 28:3. Do not drag me away with the wicked, with those who do evil, those who speak friendly words to their neighbors while planning evil in their hearts. You know, is there somebody you've been all nice to up to their face, but in the back of your mind, you're like, I'm going to get you. That's planning evil in your heart. Here's one of the problems with that, with the evil. Bitterness that we have towards it. And you know what? I know some of you are like, well, you don't know what they've done to me. You're right, I don't. But you know what I do know? That if you choose not to forgive them, it's going to eat you up on the inside, not them. You ever run across somebody you've been mad at for a while, and then you're with them and you're acting all mad, and they're like, it's obvious they had no idea you were mad at them? You've been mad all that time, and they didn't even know. You think it's been bothering them? Think it's been keeping them up at night? It hadn't. It eats us up inside. Now, do they deserve to be forgiven? Nope. But guess what? Neither do you. And yet God forgave you. And that's why not only is it in your best interest to forgive them, but Jesus commands it. He commands us to forgive others. He commands us to let go. So we don't get to say, well, you don't know what they've done to me. Now, that may mean that the relationship has barriers. Or it may even mean the relationship, you know what, for all practical purposes, is over. But you still are called to forgive them. Because if you don't, it's going to become a root of bitterness that's going to grow up within you. And you know what the scripture says? It's going to defile many. It's going to defile your other relationships. The one you have between you and God, the one with other people, it's going to mess those up. Forgive them. Forget about whether they deserve it, whether they've asked for it, even if they're still going on in their ways. Forgive them. Now, if they came in and stole everything in your house because you asked them to watch your house for a weekend and gave them a house key, forgive them, but don't give them a key again. You understand? Don't give me your account numbers. That would be foolish. But you still got to forgive them. So having that justification, well, they did something to me, so they deserve it. Here's the question you got to ask yourself. Do I really want everybody to get what they deserve? Because I don't want to get what I deserve. You know what the Bible says I deserve? Death and separation from God because of my sins. I want grace for me. So forgive the people that have hurt you. Now, the relationship part, we're going to talk about that next week. But here's the next part. I make one more appeal, my dear brothers and sisters. Watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you've been taught. Stay away from them. See, here's part of the deal. Guess what evil does? It always divides. It'll seek to divide you from your walk with Christ. You know, we all have people that don't know the Lord. There's a difference between people that don't know the Lord and just don't understand and those that are actively trying to pull you away from God. One of them's foolishness, one of them's evil. If they're always trying to cause you to doubt about the people in your life that are giving you wisdom, that are instructing you, that are teaching you, that are discipling you, that are the kind of people you want to hang out with, you want to be around, if they're always trying to cause doubt and division between you and them, watch out. Stay away from them. If they're trying to convince you, hey, you don't really need to go to church. You don't really need to do all that. They're just trying to blah, blah, blah. Watch out for those. They may not mean it that way, but those are evil intentions. Beware. And here's something I'm going to tell you. It doesn't always happen from people outside the church. Most times it comes from people within the church trying to divide. I've seen it a time or two through the years. You ever met, and we may have all done this at some point, you ever met somebody that was mad and now they're just trying to figure out a reason to be mad? Beware, and beware of that in your own heart. Several years ago, this guy came and decided he was mad about something and got mad at me and wanted to meet with the leadership of the church, and I said, fine. And so he came in there, and the first thing he said, you know what? Evil will always reveal itself. And you know what he said? He said, look, here's the church constitution. The church voted on this. We didn't vote on the Bible. If I'm lying, I'm dying. So this should be the most important thing. It was one of the shortest meetings I've ever been to in my life. Because you know what our men said? Are you serious? No. It was over in 10 minutes. We were out. Because they weren't having none of it. Because guess what? This overrules any man-made document ever made. Period. This is the ultimate authority for the church and for man. But evil reveals itself. It can't help it. But as believers, you got to listen. When you hear evil, recognize it for what it is. If it's trying to increase or to cause strife or division, reject it. And if it's coming out of your mouth, repent of it and stop saying it. Be careful about ascribing to other people the most evil motive you can think of while always looking at yourself as being good. Well, I mean, I know I did that, but they deserved it. You don't know what they did. Evil's evil. Be careful about what you allow into your mind and into your heart. Now, here's the last part, okay? Now, I get it. There might be times in life, seasons, moments, whatever, where any one of those might, your life might fall in there. I understand that. But over a course of time, right now, over the last 6 months, where would you say you, well, maybe kind of in the wise, but got a little bit of foolishness in there. I mean, I'm a little bit kind of over the line. Or maybe I'm over here. Or maybe I'm over here. Here's the deal. You know what the Bible says do about it? It doesn't say make a bigger offering. It doesn't say go out and wail and be real sorry about things. It says repent. You know what repent means? Turn away from it. Stop doing it. Well, you don't understand. It's complicated. No, it's not. You're either going to keep on in it or you're not. It's really that simple. That preacher, he's just black and white. Yes, I am, and I don't apologize for it. I am. You know what gray is? It's just black and white that you ain't looked close enough at to determine which the black is, where the white, black and the white really is. You're looking at it from too far a distance. You need to look at it closer. The Bible says to repent means turn away from, means change the way you're doing things. You want to end up, man, one foolish decision after another. Or do you want to say, you know what? There was a period of time I made some foolish decisions, but I repented of it and I turned away and I started seeking and treasuring God's wisdom. And I started living by a God I knew I could trust, even when I couldn't see how it was all going to work out. Now, if there's somebody in here, I'd like to hear from you. If there's somebody, man, I did it God's way and it was a complete disaster. I did it my way and it was so much better. Ain't no testimonies like that. You want to know why? God's way is always the best way. Now, if you're still in that waiting period, you don't get to make the decision yet about what not. You'll just have to keep waiting and you'll see. But I can promise you, the waiting part is the hardest part. It's also the biggest test. But be determined that you're going to wait no matter what. Be determined you're going to wait no matter what. God's word never fails. Choose the way of wisdom. Choose the way of wisdom. Choose to put your trust in the word of God. Surround yourself with wise people. Seek wisdom. Even in areas where you think, maybe, you know, I think I got this. Seek wisdom anyway. The first part is this. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, that's the first thing you need. I'm not asking you if you know a lot about him. I'm not asking how many times you've been to church. I'm not asking if your grandfather was a preacher. Your mama sang and played the piano. I'm not asking any of those things. I'm asking, do you have a relationship with Christ? And you don't get that just by coming to church. You can come to church every week and it doesn't make you a Christian. Just like you can go sleep in the garage tonight and you ain't going to wake up tomorrow, pickup truck. That's not how it works. You got to know and begin a relationship with your Creator. So how do you do that? It's simple. You want to know why? Because Jesus already paid the price so that you could have a relationship with him. Here's what it comes down to is number one, you got to admit that you're a sinner for all, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You got to ask forgiveness of your sins. Second thing is this. You got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He's not just some guy, not just some teacher, not just some religious dude that lived a long time ago. He's the Son of God. He lived a life without sin, died on a cross in your place and in my place, died for our sins. And then on the third day, he rose according to Scripture. Jesus is God's Son. The last thing is you got to trust Jesus as Savior and confess him as your Lord. When you confess him as Lord, that means, hey, I'm going to live life his way from this day on. Now, you won't do it perfectly. None of us do. But you can't come to Jesus and say, hey, I want the salvation part, but I just like to keep making my own decisions and doing things my way. That's not how it works. As a matter of fact, Jesus loves you too much to let you come that way. He loves you so much, he wants you to find wisdom. He wants you to find the reaping of joy and blessing. He loves you too much to let you live that way. So you got to confess him as Lord. If you've never done that, I want to give you a chance to do it today. I'm going to lead you in a prayer of salvation. It'll be short. You can repeat the words after me, or you can pray them in your own words. Just pray them in your heart. God will hear you. But if that's you and you want to know your sins are forgiven, you want to know you have a right relationship with God, and you want to know that you're going to spend eternity with him in heaven, you pray this with me right now. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. Pray this with me now. Dear God in heaven, thank you for loving me and thank you for Jesus. I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart, my life, and cleanse me. I know that Jesus is your son. I know that he died on the cross for my sins. And I know that he rose on the third day, according to Scripture. So today, I trust Jesus as my Savior, and I confess him as my Lord. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. All I want you to do, if you prayed that prayer, is I want you to look up at me and keep looking until I make eye contact with you. Just keep looking until I see you. Look up right now. You prayed that prayer today, you look up right now. Okay? All right. See you. Okay. All right. Now here's what I want to encourage you to do. There's a number on your screen. You can just text "I did it" to that number. And we'd love to get in touch with you and answer any questions you have and talk to you about the next steps in following Jesus. We're not going to ask you for anything. We're not going to bug you. We're not going to put you on a mailing list. We just want to help you take the next steps and following Jesus. So if you would just text "I did it" to that number, or you can open up with your phone's camera, you can just point it towards that QR code. It's also in your bulletin, and it'll open up and you can let us know that you made that decision through that form. It's important that you tell someone, and we'd love to hear from you. If you'd rather do it in person, John or I'll be here after the service. We'd love to talk to you about it. I want to pray for you that made the decision to follow Christ. I want to pray for all of us that God would help us to live lives of wisdom. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We love you. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the wisdom that comes to us from being obedient to your commands. Father, help us to live lives of wisdom. And Father, help those that made a decision today to trust Christ, continue on and to walk with you, to find the right church where they can grow and hear the word of God. Help them find the right people that will help them in their growth as a new Christian. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be a part of their spiritual journey. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon Audio Podcast from Greenwood Baptist Church in Weatherford, Texas. You can find links to topics and scriptures discussed in this episode by looking at the show notes. You can find more information online at greenwood.church. If you have any questions or comments, please send an email to info@greenwoodbc.com.